Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 57. The Bible says, "And they that laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." Now, there's a whole lot of preaching in verse number 58 on Peter following afar off. I'm not going that direction this morning. Let me say this. If you want to be close to God, you got to be close to God. Amen. You can't follow him afar off, be away from him, and expect the blessings of God to be upon you. Amen. Sermonette number one. But the Bible says in verse number 59, "Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." I want you to notice in verse number 59 what the Bible here says, what the Bible is teaching us this morning and saying to us in verse number 59. "The chief priests, the elders, and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." They wasn't looking for truth. They was looking for a lie. They was looking for the false witness. If you look, if you would this morning, let me just borrow your mind for just a minute. And I want to get our thoughts and our ideas together this morning. And I want you to join with me in your mind, and let's go to a courtroom setting. I want you to think now as the judge is sitting there that platform up there. The judge is sitting there. We're in a courtroom setting. Now we have witnesses that are going to testify, and we have those that are accused. And this morning we have Christ on the seat of accusal. He's the one that's being accused of so many things, and they've accused him of being a false god. And in Sunday school this morning we studied where they accused him of being of a devil and being demon possessed. He was accused of so many things. They accused him of blasphemy. They accused him of being a devil himself. But now we've got him on we've got him up here on the seat. He's on the hot seat. And we're going to go into a courtroom setting. We're going to bring in the witnesses, and we're going to see what these witnesses have to say about Christ. And then we're going to find out some things about this courtroom setting and what's taking place. We see here in this passage of Scripture that we sort of have that courtroom setting. In verse 57, the Bible says, "They laid hold on Jesus and led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled." There they are bringing him into the courtroom setting, if you would. And the Bible says, "Peter followed afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end." He was being a spectator, if you would. And the Bible says in verse 59, "Now the chief priests and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death." The Bible says in verse number 60, "But they found none." They was looking for false witnesses and some things to accuse Christ, to put him to death, but the Bible says they found none. "Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last, two false witnesses and said, 'This fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it up in 3 days.' And the high priest arose and said unto him, 'Answerest thou nothing? Which is it which these witness against thee?' But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, 'I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God.'" Now listen to real close. The high priest is saying to Jesus Christ, "I'm telling you, you need to tell by the living God, you speak to us, you tell us, are you thou the Christ, the Son of God?" He's commanding him to tell that he is the Son of God. Jesus, in verse 64, the Bible says, "Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Now he asked him to tell him, and he told him. Now the Bible says, "Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, 'He has spoken blasphemy. What further need of we of witnesses? Behold, now ye have heard his blasphemy. What think ye?' They answered and said, 'He is guilty of death.' Then did they spit in his face and buffeted him, and others smote him with the palms of their hands, saying, prophesy unto us, thou Christ, who is he that smote thee? Now Peter sat within the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied him before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Can I take a little time out and run just a little short rabbit right there? If you notice with me in verse number 61, they're talking about Jesus Christ. They're talking about the Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Redeemer of mankind in verse 61, and they call him this fellow. That's what they think of Christ. They're telling us right there what they think of him. He's just this fella, this guy we've met along the way. He's the one that's coming in making blasphemy, and he's saying that he's a god, this fella. Then you come to verse number, he's talking to Peter, verse 71. Verse 71, the maid comes in and says, and they're saying of Peter now, they're calling him the same thing. This fella was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Hey, listen, they have demeaned him. They've lowered him. They've made him to be nothing except just a man. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth, speaking of Peter. And again, Peter, he denied with an oath and said, I do not know the man. And after a while, he came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, now we all know the account where Jesus told Peter that he would deny him three times, and he did. And that's when the cock crew, we understand that Jesus had told Peter that was going to happen. And Peter, verse 50 or 75, Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Now I want to call your attention back to verse number 66 for just a minute. And we're going to go into the courtroom setting for just a few minutes. And I want to borrow your mind, and I want you to go with me and think on these thoughts this morning. Before we do that, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, the opportunity you've given us today to be in your house. I thank you, Lord, for such a beautiful day. I thank you, Lord, for health. I thank you, Lord, for giving us, Lord, the strength to get up this morning and put our clothes on. Lord, to walk through our closets in our right mind this morning. And Lord, to get out some clothes to put on to come to your house. And I thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here. Thank you for the Sunday school hour, Lord, and helping us understanding to contend for truth and to stand for truth. But Lord, now I pray you bless this message. I pray you'd use me, the messenger, and help me, Lord, to say, and Lord, only that that's needful and necessary in this hour. I pray you'd bind the demons of hell, hold back all the opposing powers. And I pray, God, that we'd be charged and challenged this morning from the precious word of God. Now have your will and have your way in everything that's said and everything that's done. In Jesus' loving name we pray. Amen. And amen. I want to call your attention this morning to some witnesses for Christ. Now we see that the Bible says that they called for false witnesses, but they found none. Then there was two that came, the two false witnesses that came there at the last. And verse 61, they said that this fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and build it in 3 days. And we find, as we study the Bible, the only thing they could find was those that were telling lies about Christ. They couldn't find anybody that would tell the truth. But I want to go on record this morning, and I want to help you understand by the precious word of God, or through the precious word of God, that there is some things that prove that Christ was the very Son of God. Amen. And I'm not going to defend him as being the Son of God, but I want to just look at some others and see what they had to say about Christ. Go with me to Matthew, if you would, chapter number 3. Hope you brought your Bibles. We're going to use them this morning. Amen. Matthew chapter number 3. Let's just look and see what God the Father had to say himself. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 3 and verse number 17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. First of all, as we look at the witnesses for Christ, the testimonies for Christ, we look at His Father. And what does His Father have to say about the very Son? Well, the Father says, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." So the Father has something good to say, amen, about the Son. He's well pleased with His Son. His Son has the accusations of doing wrong and being wicked. But God says, "I'm well pleased with Him. He is My Son, and I'm not ashamed of Him." Amen. See that God is pleased with the Son. Let's go on to Matthew chapter number 8. I'm going to jump around a little bit this morning for the sake of time. I don't have the time to go through all of the Bible like I'd like to, or all the New Testament like I'd like to. But let's go to chapter number 8 of the book of Matthew. We talk to the Father, and you know, if you study the Bible, you can talk to Mary, the mother of Jesus, and ask her what she thought of Him. Well, that's very simple. It's very easy to understand what she thought, how she would testify. She said there at one time, "Whatever He saith to thee, just do it. Just honor Him. Just listen to Him, because He will not lead you astray. He is the Son of God." But listen, we come on down. Let's find some people that's not related to Him. Let's find some others that Jesus has met along the way. We come to Matthew chapter number 8. And verse number 2, we're going to find one there that's a leper. The Bible says, "And behold, there came a leper, and he worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me whole." The Bible says in verse number 3, "And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed." Now, if we were to go this morning to the leper and ask the leper what he thought of Jesus Christ, the Bible says Jesus immediately touched him, and his leprosy had left him. "And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." And listen, if you were to go to the leper and ask him what he thought of Jesus Christ, I promise you he won't have anything to say about him except, "He touched me and made me whole. He cleansed me from my leprosy." All right, so we have the testimony of the leper that Christ had touched him and healed him immediately of his leprosy. Well, that's wonderful. Let's move on down the line and see who else we can find. Let's call to the stand this morning to witness for Christ the centurion in verse number 5 of Matthew chapter number 8. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick in the palsy, grievous and tormented. Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof." Hold on now. What is the testimony of this one man? He says, "The Lord is great and He's mighty and He's holy, and I'm not worthy for Him to even step under my roof." Says, "But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man," verse number 9, "I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me." This was a man in authority. Amen. This is a man in authority that had soldiers under him. He's able to give the command and men would act. He was able to give the command to soldiers and they would react. "I have soldiers under me, and I say this to and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." He says to the centurion, "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." But Jesus said unto the centurion, watch this now, "Go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee." And his servant was healed the selfsame hour. The servant was healed the selfsame hour. I want to ask the testimony of the centurion this morning. What do you think of Christ? Well, the very hour that he spoke, my servant was healed. The very hour that he said it would happen, it was happened. It happened, amen. Jesus kept his word. Jesus didn't lie. Jesus said he would, and he did, amen. had the testimony from the centurion that he's healed, and he said he would heal, and he did heal, and he done what he said the very hour that he said he would do it. Let's move on down the line as we testify and find testimonies for Christ. Matthew chapter number 8, again, stay there with me if you would. In verse number 14, there's one named, don't give her name, but it's Peter's mother-in-law. Notice the Bible says in verse 14, and Jesus was coming to Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laid sick of a fever, and he touched her, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. Now, I want to ask you this morning, let's get a testimony from Peter's mother-in-law. Bring her to the stand, and let's ask her what she thinks of Christ. Well, I was laying on my deathbed. I was sick near to death. I had a fever, and I was really sick. The Bible says that she was sick, and she was of a fever, and she was laying. You know how seriously ill you feel when you have a fever, amen, and you feel like death is at your door? And let's ask her what she thinks of Christ. She says, whenever he walked in and saw me sick, he touched me and immediately my fever left. Amen. What do you think about Christ? I think he's a wonderful Savior. He's a mighty God. He's an everlasting Father. I think he's a wonderful healer. Amen. Look in verse number 16. We've seen the leper. We got the testimony of the leper that's been healed. The centurion whose servant was sick that was healed. We see Peter's mother-in-law was sick and she was healed when Jesus walked in and saw that she was sick. Now let's go to some that's a little worse shape. Matthew chapter 8 verse 16, when the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. If we brought all those in that were demon possessed in this passage of scripture and got them to testify, what would they say? Oh, Jesus Christ, yeah, we know that man. He cast the devils out of us. Amen. He cast out the demons. He cast out the devils. And the Bible says there were many of them. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 18, if you would, look with me there. In verse number 18, now when Jesus saw a great multitude about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not nowhere to lay his head. Another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go bury my father. I'm not going to read all that because you know what takes place there. Jump down to verse number 28. The Bible says, verse 27, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? What manner of man is this? And even the winds and the sea doth obey. If we were to ask the disciples this morning and bring them to the stand, each one of them, and say, disciples, what do you think of Christ? They would say, what manner of man is this? Hey, we've seen the winds obey him. We've seen the winds obey him and the sea obeyed him. Know what kind of man this is. This is the Son of God. Verse 28, when he was come to the other side of the country of Gennesaret, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fear so that no man might pass that way. Behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Thou art come hither to torment us before the time. These are the demons that's crying out now. Verse 29, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? If we were to bring the devils and the demons to the stand this morning, if we can put them on the stand, these two demons that the Bible speaks of, and put them on the stand and said, what think ye of Christ? Those demons says, thou art the Son of God. Know who he is. He says, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? Hey, they know their time's coming. Hey man, that's another message. I won't preach that either this morning, but that's good stuff. There was a good way off from them. I heard of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said to them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their way. These are the two that were possessed. The Bible says those two, after the demons were cast out of them into the swine, those two had, listen, they fled and went their ways into the city and told everything what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Oh, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Hey, they were, these two that were possessed of demons, the demons themselves said, thou art the Son of God. But the two that the devils was cast out of, let's put them two on the stand and see what they have to say. And they testify, we were possessed of the devil and Christ delivered us from that possession. He's a deliverer this morning. Amen. What do we find out about Christ? Well, first of all, I find he's a healer. Amen. As we find the testimonies of these in the scripture and these that we put on the stand to testify for Christ, we find that he's a healer and he's a deliverer. Amen. He can deliver and he will deliver. But let's not stop there. Let's keep going and see what else we find. Matthew chapter number 9, if you would. Look with me in chapter number 9 and verse number 8. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 8, the Bible says, but when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. There was a man that was sick of the palsy here in Matthew chapter 9 and verse number 8. He was paralyzed, and the Bible says that the whole multitude saw it. The multitude, let's put them on the stand and see what they say about Christ. If we put that multitude on the stand, they marveled and they glorified God with the things that Jesus had done. Such power had been given to such a man. What do you say of Christ? That he has miraculous power. Just don't stop there, but keep going. Continue reading the Bible and find that there was a woman there with an issue of blood. Most of you have heard the account. Behold, verse number 20. Behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years. She came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. She said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. Jesus turned to him about. When he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. She put the woman on the stand that had an issue of blood. Bring that woman to the courtroom, in the courtroom, and set her on the stand. Let's hear her testimony. Her testimony is, I've been to every doctor in the countryside. I've spent all my money. I've had this disease for 12 years until I met the man. Till I met Jesus, amen. I didn't have to touch him. I just had to get close enough to him, touch the hem of his garment, because I knew he had the power to deliver me from my disease. He had the power to make me whole. Amen. What's her testimony this morning? Her testimony is that she knew that Jesus could make her whole. Amen. Let me say to the lost sinner this morning, Jesus can make us whole. Amen. Let me move on. I'm not done yet. You know, when you go to court, sometimes it takes a while. Amen. We get into the Bible and look in verse number 30 of chapter number 9. Verse number 30. Well, let's back up verse number 27. Verse number 27. When Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou, Son of David, have mercy on us. And then he was coming to the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, watch this now, say that no man know it. All right, now we bring those blind men and we set them on the stand. What think ye of Christ this morning? He's on trial because he says he is the Son of God, and he's on trial for being the Son of God. What do you say, blind men, about the Son of God? Well, the blind man has been instructed by the Lord to not tell any man. Don't you tell nobody what I done. Watch this now. Verse number 31. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. Can I say this morning? If Jesus opens your blinded eyes, you can't help but tell it. Amen. If you're blinded by sin and the Lord opens your blinded eyes, you cannot help but to tell it. Amen. He went out into all the country, and the fame was about all the country. And as they went, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with the devil. And there again, he cast out another devil. But these blind men, God touched them and told them, don't say anything. But they didn't listen. They spread it all about the country. What do you say about Christ if we ask these blind men? What's your assessment of Christ? He's a healer, amen. Touched our blinded eyes and opened our eyes that we may see. Go on down the line here in verse number 30, the Bible says, and their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightway charged them, saying, see that you tell not a man. Verse 31, done read that. Let me move on. Let's jump over to the book of Luke real quickly. We've looked at some of these in the book of Matthew. Let's go to the book of Luke. Let's look at one that's very serious to us as we know the name of Pilate. Let's bring Pilate to the stand this morning. We're looking at the accusations of Christ being the Son of God. They've accused him and said he's blasphemy. He's blaspheming God. And we've got him on the stand. Let's bring in the witness this morning of Pilate. Let's see what Pilate has to say in Luke chapter number 23. The Bible says in verse number 4, then said Pilate to the chief priest and to the people, I find no fault in this man. Pilate, what do you say of him? Pilate says, hey, I've examined this man. I've listened to every story and all the accounts and everything that's happened, and I find no fault in this man. Can I say this morning? You will never find any fault in Jesus Christ. Amen. You can find fault in Muhammad. You can find fault in Buddha. You can find fault in all the rest of them, but you'll never find fault with Christ. Pilate says on the stand, I find no fault in him. There's nothing wrong. I find nothing wrong. Go back with me real quickly. I left one out in Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27. Let's look at that one more time. Sorry, I didn't mean to make you back up, but it's all right. It's going to be good. We'll bring to the stand. We'd let Pilate, he can step down. Thank you for your testimony, Pilate. Let's bring up Judas Iscariot to the stand. We bring Judas Iscariot up to the stand. He is the one that told us about Christ. He's the one that we gave the 30 pieces of silver to. He's the one that betrayed the Christ, the Son of God. He's the one that done that. Let's see what he has to say about Christ. We know he's going to be a good false accuser. He's going to be a good false witness for us. So let's bring him to the stand. Let's see what Judas has to say. In chapter 27 of the book of Matthew, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him unto Pontius Pilate, the governor. Watch this now. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. Wait a minute. Wait a minute now. Here we are, we've got Judas on the stand. We gave you 30 pieces of silver to betray this Christ. Now we want you to tell us what you think of that Christ. You know what Judas does? He looks at them and says, here's your money back. He gives them back the 30 pieces of silver. Now it's too late. We understand what's taking place in the Bible. I don't have time to preach all that this morning. But he gives it back. And the Bible says it repented him. And listen to that. And he brought back the 30 pieces of silver and he gives it to the chief priest and the elders. And he says this, I have sinned and that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to it. What did Judas have to say? Judas said, I've sinned. I've shed innocent blood. That's an innocent man. I find Pilate said no fault in him. Judas said he's an innocent man. He's never done anything wrong except heal and to touch people's life and to help people and to deliver them from their situations. Judas said, I've messed up. Here's your money back. Go to John chapter number 3 quickly. John chapter number 3. Go to John chapter number 3. We'll find another testimony. Here's one that comes into the wilderness preaching and jumping around and acting like he ain't got no sense. Bring this man to the court. Bring John in. Set him on the stand. We need to hear the testimony of John the Baptist. Let's see what John the Baptist has to say about Christ. Go to John chapter number 3. We find John there, the man in the wilderness, preaching. You know what John says about Christ? I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. Judas said he's an innocent man. Pilate said, I find no fault in this man. John says, hey, I'm not worthy to loose his shoes. Centurion there says, I'm not worthy for him to even come under my roof. Let's ask the Apostle Paul this morning. I don't have time to go through all this. Let's ask the Apostle Paul this morning. Paul, what do you think of Jesus Christ? What's your assessment of him? We have him on a stand. We've got him on trial this morning. And we're trying to get some accusations against him, some false witnesses against him. Paul, what do you say? Paul says, I count everything lost. I count everything dung. But I may know him. Everything else in this world doesn't mean nothing to me. I may know Christ and the power thereof. Paul says, nothing matters to me. I want to know about Christ. I want that power in my life. Well, I tell you what, all these people we've brought before us this morning, you know, it doesn't seem like we're getting anywhere with these false accusers, these false witnesses. We've brought some in that Christ was friends with. We brought some in that he's met along the road. We brought in his disciples, and everything we've heard this morning, it sounds like that this is just a good man. And it sounds like also he may have a little power. Let's ask Christ himself. Let's put him on the stand. Let's ask him himself what he has to say. Jesus comes to the stand and sits down. He says, I am that I am. He says, I am the bread of life. You've accused me of all these things, but I'm telling you, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. Jesus, what do you have to say about yourself? Jesus says, I'm the door to heaven. No man gets to the Father except by me. Jesus, what else do you have to say about yourself? You're not really helping us out here. Jesus looks at the crowd, the chief priests and the scribes, and says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father except by me. And except a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. Christ, what do you mean you're the way, you're the life? What does all that mean? It means I am the Son of God. I've been accused of being that, and I am the Son of God. Jesus, do you realize what you're saying to the court this morning? You're saying you're guilty of being a son of God. You're guilty of being a deliverer. You're guilty of being a healer. You're guilty of saving men from their sins. You're guilty of delivering folks that were demon possessed. You cast the demons into the swine. You're guilty of those things. Jesus says, I am the Son of God. We put him on trial this morning. As we come into the courtroom, we have all these witnesses that have witnessed and told us what they thought. And man, I'm telling you this morning, the Bible has so much more to say. There's so much more I could cover. So many more people we could talk about. The Bible says there's one man between God and man. That's the mediator. That's the advocate. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Go back to the book of Matthew chapter 26 real quickly. We've heard the witnesses. We've heard the testimonies. Bible says they bring Christ in, the high priest rent his clothes, saying he spoke, talking about Christ, speaking blasphemy. And he asked all the people, said, what do you think? What think ye? Excuse me. They said he's guilty of death. They spit in his face and they buffeted him. Others smote him with the palms of their hands. Can I say to you this morning, what think you of Christ? Do we realize this morning there's a lot of people out there today that's still buffeting him? A lot of people still spitting in his face, saying he's not the Son of God. He's not who he says he is. Some even accused him of being a fornicator. Talked about that in Sunday school. They accused Christ of committing sin and doing wicked deeds. There's still people spitting in his face. The Bible goes on to say there, Matthew 26, that that Peter began to fall off. Not only today do we see people that spitting in Christ's face and say that he's not the Son of God, but we have those that know him, that even would stand on to stand and witness and testify later of the goodness of Christ, yet they're following afar off. The message this morning is primarily this. Well, thank you of Christ. Well, thank you of Christ. Did he open your blinded eyes that you may see? Was you bound in sin, lost in sin, and blinded by this world and the devil? Did Christ touch your eyes that you may see? Well, thank you of Christ. He's a healer. I can testify this morning and tell you that Christ is a healer. He opened these blinded eyes that I may see. Amen. Well, thank you of Christ this morning. Is he a deliverer? Has he delivered you from your bondage? Has he delivered you from your sicknesses? Has he delivered you from your financial troubles or from your circumstances? What to thank you of Christ? Some people this morning don't think very much of Christ. Although he's made touch their blinded eyes and open their eyes that they may see and accept him as their Savior, yet they're like Peter, they're following afar off and they don't want to have a whole lot to do with him. They just know him. What thank you of Christ? I myself, I want to say this. I want to be like the Apostle Paul. Count everything else but loss. I may know him. What thank you of Christ? If we were to put you on the stand this morning to be a witness for Christ, not for being a Christian. You know, you see that little slogan you put on trial for being a Christian. We put you on trial this morning, put you on the stand and asked you, what do you think of Christ? Oh, I love him. He is the Son of God. I love him. He's touched my blinded eyes and opened them that I may see. I've accepted him as Lord of my life. And I believe every word he ever said. Could you say that this morning? Or maybe there'd be some that'd be put on trial this morning. What thank you of Christ? I want you to think about this as the day goes through. As you go about your way today, I want you to think on this thought. What thank ye of Christ? He's my Lord. He's my Savior. But why did you just do what you've done? If you partake in sin. He's the Lord of my life. And listen, I'm a witness for him. I'm a positive witness. I'm not a false witness. Amen. I want to be a good witness for Christ. So my life is going to show what I think of Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. But now I'm being watched. And there's a lost and dying world out here full of false accusations. Well, thank you of Christ. I think enough of my Lord to let them know I'm not going to party with them. I'm not going to hip-hop and bebop with them. I'm going to stand on truth. Does it mean that much to you? Does Christ mean that much to you? Judas had betrayed him and shed innocent blood, testified that he had shed innocent blood. Though he walked with Christ, he stood with Christ, he knew Christ, he betrayed him, but when it was all said and done, standing there as a witness, he realizes he lived a life of a lie. I've shed innocent blood. I've done things amiss I shouldn't have done. You know why he done all those things? Don't get mad. Don't get upset. You know why he done those things? Because of money. What thank you this morning of Christ? Is he Lord? Is he Master? Does he mean anything to you? What thank you of Christ?